Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237. Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. A very special guest back again is District Attorney of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. And the last time we spoke, we were talking about the Knicks winning a championship. And at the time, I didn't think I would see one in my lifetime. And we spoke about it, and I ran into one of the Knicks players, told him the story about my father making me go to bed when I was 10, and I didn't see the Knicks win the championship. And I told him, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I told my kids, buy my championship T-shirt and just lay it on my gravesite. He looked at me, it was Trey Jameson, number 50, and he said, we're going to win one for you soon. He told me this in February. And I said, he knows something that I don't know. The whole team knows something. These guys believe in each other. And that we were talking off air, and I said, let's bring the conversation on air. So we're
talking
about the historic run, only losing three playoff games, sweeping two teams, the finals, doing the reverse. What happened to us in 1999, the Spurs beat us 4-1.
Right, that's right.
We beat them 4-1.
That's right.
The wake-up series was the first series against Atlanta when we went down 2-1 and everybody was upset. Yeah, we were concerned, but the Knicks came out and it was a totally different offense. And Carl Anthony Towns went to the coach and said, hey, can we try something? And I looked and this man is Carl Anthony Towns. He was rebounding all year. We know he could score. We know he could shoot. But can this man pass the ball? He was making passes that if he was a point guard, he would have been commended for. This man had 10 assists as a center. He was, I can't say enough at the dominant performance, the Atlanta series ending it 50 points in that last game. Philadelphia, they beat them by 30 points. The next series, the same thing for Cleveland, even coming back by 27 points against Cleveland.
Look, if you've seen the graphic of what are the top 10 playoff comebacks, I think we got 5 of them, right? I mean, no lead was safe.
Yeah.
Never say die, no quit. Played together, hung together, played with each other, fed off the crowd. It was historic.
It was so bad.
You tell your story about you were asleep. I missed it. I wasn't born. I missed it. I was born in October of that year in 73. I missed it by a matter of months. I had people in my family teasing me that I was a personal curse. I was born and I couldn't win no more. So at least we proved that wrong too.
I can understand that one, but see, I'd rather have been in that position. Not being born, then having your dad make you go to bed and you're not seeing it. And I didn't see that game until they found it. Until they found it some 40 years later, they found the game. And then I finally got to see the game and I saw what I missed.
How much time have you spent this summer watching Game 4 and Game 5 highlights from this year? Because I can't even count the amount of time. So let me see that again.
I have not spent time watching the highlights of those games. I tell you why. Because I have those games on my DVR. I watch the entire games.
Fair. I love it. I have watched one of the entire games, but a whole lot of the clips. I have my favorite moments. Let's roll them.
Yeah. And I can tell you that I have three favorite games. Actually, I have a game in each series, but definitely the 27-point comeback. Definitely Game 4 of the finals with the tip. And I could tell you, I didn't get upset when they were down 29 points and Wamby was going, I'm in your head. I said, oh, we got you just where we want you.
Even when they were all the way down, you thought the way down. Oh,
no!
When they were all the way down, I was shell shocked when they were all. The way down.
I said, we got you just where we want you, and the reason
I felt like we had, you know, we you know, the way they've been playing, we weren't necessarily, but I was shell shocked. I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. We went down big.
Yeah, but we went down big to Cleveland. Last season, the two games against Boston, I said, you know, I don't have to watch these guys a lot of times not to doubt them. I'm not going to go anywhere. Halftime, I'm coming back.
I didn't go anywhere. I just didn't. I can remember that feeling. I was numb.
Oh, I wasn't numb. I was just waiting for it. I said, it's going to happen. I'm waiting for it. And then the second half, I saw them. They were still down after the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter. But I saw that they were coming. I said, you know, the Spurs only scored 16 points in the third quarter. I said, uh-oh. In the fourth quarter, they scored 14 points. They scored 30 points in the second half and lost 107 to 106. I said, these guys are locked in.
How did you feel after Hart missed the layup? Because that was...
Yeah.
I felt bad for him too, but when I was watching, everyone go, oh, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't worried though. I wasn't worried because I looked at the clock and there was still time. And I watched their response. He fell down on the floor. He was down. They came over, got him and said, get up.
Yeah. No. Done. All for one.
Get up. See, somebody else, if they would started arguing, the game was over.
Yeah, but that's not how this team, that's not how they got down. They supported each other. It was actually, I really hope that, you know, it's a lesson for, you know, folks who play youth basketball, AAU or high school, that, you know, you're right. There was never any of that. You didn't do this. And it's like all for one.
Now let me give you the behind the scenes, what I've seen, because I know these guys and I watch them. Leon Rose is from Temple. He went to Temple. He represented Rick Brunson, the dad, when he played the NBA.
I remember when Rick Brunson was in the NBA. I remember that.
Beautiful guy. He played on the 1999 team. He was on that team that lost to the Spurs. So Leon Rose represented him. Wes Wesley, we call him Worldwide Wes. I never saw the man's picture until he started as the executive for the Knicks. He's known throughout New Jersey as Mr. Basketball. So you got these connections. Then you got Carl Anthony Towns from New Jersey. Then, of course, you got the Villanova connection. Bridges is from Philly. Hart is from Maryland. They all played AAU basketball. DiVincenzo. So here's where I'm going with this. They knew who they wanted. They got all the guys that played AAU ball. They put them on a team, so they know each other from they knew each other when they were teenagers. So you got the chemistry. Then the thing happened where the Knicks won the cup, and they got $500,000 apiece. Do you know what these guys did with that money? The ones that had big contracts gave their money to the staff and the coaches that didn't make a lot of money. That was back in December. When they did that, I said, that shows chemistry. They're building something there. I said, this is leading up to something. Then, of course, they didn't put the banner up for the cup because they said anybody who won that cup is a curse. The Knicks are the first team to win the cup and the NBA championship.
And now I think, you know, it makes the cup more, you know, because I agree, you don't put the cup up just a cup. But when chip too, you put them both, you know, hey, side by side.
And they're putting up three banners, the cup, the Eastern Conference Championship, and the NBA Champions. Three banners. I mean, we are so proud of this team and been fans for a long time. Man, the only thing is we had our convention and I was in Las Vegas when they won. And I had all the festivities on TV.
Duty calls, man. You got to do duty calls, right?
Duty calls. But I was so proud. But I could go down to the – and since I was on the West Coast, I could get all of the Knick jerseys I wanted because it was still in the store. The Nike store was downstairs. I could go and get the Knick jerseys. So I was able to get jerseys for everybody.
They're going to San Antonio. Got it. Bought them there.
They had those San Antonio jerseys too, but they
No, I
wasn't.
mean go to San Antonio with the Knicks jersey.
Oh, well, I
Let them
saw
know.
some of the fans, what they did to some of the people in San Antonio, and I said, you give, you take. So I don't think I want to do
Well, hey,
that.
you can't do that. We had some incidents that, I'm a fan, but you can't put your hands on somebody,
But
do it on the court.
we understand we don't cross the line with basketball. We talk trash. We don't hit somebody over a basketball.
Exactly.
You're allowed to root for who you want to root for, and everybody should be safe. And I'm embarrassed behind some of that behavior.
No, it was, that's not, that's
No.
you root for your team, you root as hard as you can. And like I say, New York way, we talk a little bit, but
That,
you don't put your hands on anybody,
no, 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 no. But listen, we've been talking about the Knicks. We could talk about the Knicks all day
All
long.
day, all day.
We're talking to this is Gregory Floyd, President Local 237 Teamsters. We're talking to the District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and we were just talking about some of the things we don't get to talk about, something that's fun. But as we celebrated Labor Day has passed. You have created the DA's office to protect workers and their rights. Can you tell us about how that office is run and how you're coming along with that?
Yeah, I'm proud of the work that our worker protection unit is doing. I mean, it's sad and sobering that the work has to be done. You think it's a basic contract, right? An honest dollar for honest day's work, but there are unscrupulous employers out here who aren't paying wages. Some of them not at all. Some of them criminally low wages. Some of them unsafe working conditions. And so we have this unit, and we've done a number of cases. 12 indictments, distributed about $2.4 million in stolen wages back to workers, and spanning industries. We used to focus years ago primarily on construction trades, but now we still do that important work, but are in lots of other sectors as well. Retail. We have a recent case in the garment industry. We have a case with actors. We alleged weren't paid the lawful wage, and so we're here to serve anyone who believes they have information or they may have been a victim of wage theft. They can reach out to us. Our number for that is 646-712-0298, 646-712-0298. And I appreciate you raising that, particularly this being Labor Day being just right this week.
Yes. And also you have an office that addresses tenant harassment and unscrupulous landlords. And would that include if they're not providing heat and services for the tenants?
If it happens for a day, that's likely going to be a regulatory administrator. But if it's systematic, we definitely have a case that we're litigating now with tenant harassment, where we allege the landlord just, basically, didn't do any repairs, allowed the place to be in just such disrepair, ceilings coming in, vermin. And when it's systemic in that way, we have a tenant harassment case. We also have cases with rental scams. We have two separate cases going on now. I call it the "I'll sell you a bridge" case, where two different people, separate, they didn't work together or anything, but did the same thing. They said, "Oh, I'll show you a place." They had no right to show it. They had no control over it. Show the place, and they say, "Oh, he's gonna move fast. He's gonna move fast. You gotta give me your first month, your last month security deposit." They gobble that up, and then they ghost the people, and they didn't have any connection to the actual property. So, the people go to move in, they're like, "Who are you?" And so that obviously works because of the scarcity, because of the affordable housing crisis we have. That has the ring of truth, right? If you go to rent a place in the city, even if it's legitimate, they may say to you, "You gotta move fast, because this may be gone." And these fraudsters were preying on that that scarcity.
And you did you catch them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're prosecuting them. We're prosecuting them.
Very good.
Yeah, we're prosecuting them. Right? You know that that scarcity breeds the opportunity for fraud. So we want people to be on the lookout, and we hold people accountable who do that kind of thing.
So, what can someone do to make sure that they're not a victim of fraud? How do they know that a place is really for rent? Is there anything that should be shown that you actually have the right to rent this apartment to me?
So I would say for all of the frauds we see, whether it's identity theft, whether it's a rental scam, whether it's immigration fraud, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, if someone says, hey, I got this two-bedroom palatial for $500 a month, you know, probably too good to be true. So the number one advice is kind of take a deep breath. And then I know we have a lot of things happening in the virtual world, but we always tell people, look, you know, is there a brick and mortar place I can go? If you can't meet me anywhere, right? If everything is off of, you know, Facebook Messenger or a DM, a brick and mortar location, that's not going to be, you know, that's not going to be a full guarantee, but that's something we tell people to look for. If it's too good to be true, take a beat. If they're asking you for money before they do something, right? So, well, you want the money before we sign a lease, you know, well, we should be doing that in tandem.
Right.
So I tell people to take a deep breath. If it sounds too good to be true, it might be. Get the kind of things we would normally get, a brick and mortar location, not something completely virtual. Those are the kinds of things we tell people to look out for.
Excellent. Now, we were talking about the unscrupulous landlords, and that reminded me of a movie that I saw. It's a Joe Pesci movie, and it's called The Super, where the judge sentenced him to live in his own developments that were, I would say, run down and dilapidated. But that movie was based on a landlord here in New York that got sentenced to do that, and the judge sentenced him to live in those buildings, because I remember hearing about it on the news, and then they made the movie.
So we haven't had that kind of a sentence yet, but we definitely are. You know, when we look at types of resolutions, we look, you know, for people to, you know, we had a series of cases with the 421A tax breaks, people who were getting those tax breaks for which they were supposed to then do affordable housing, and they weren't doing affordable housing. They were doing housing that was not affordable. So, you know, cheating the system. And part of the relief there was that not just, you know, the sanctions against them, but they had to sort of, you know, have certain number of affordable units. So we can have creative solutions. We haven't had that one yet where we had someone live in their own building, but maybe we should keep that in mind.
You keep that in mind. I mean, it's got to be a case on the books because it happened in New York. It may have happened, I'm going back in my memory, the movie must have been 30, 35 years ago. So the case could be 38 years ago. But there's got to be a case on the books that the judge sentenced him to live in his own development, because it was all over the news when I was growing up. So
I'm going to have to take a look.
Yeah, I'm sure it's there. But you check out the movie The Super, Joe Pesci, and then see what it was based on and who was based on. You probably get it off, just Google it. The movie Super, who was it based off? And then you could go from there. Yeah, very easy to find. And it probably was a Manhattan judge, because it sounds like something in Manhattan somebody would come up with. But that was a genius plot, because everybody was talking about that guy who had to live in his own building. He was sentenced there. So
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah. So now that summer's over and schools have opened, and it's sort of like, I would say, like the second part of the year, are there any initiatives you have going forward?
Look, we are you know, continuing to be focused on you know, mental health. We've had a number of as the city has, you know, overall.
Yeah.
Incidents that are, you know, directed for mental health. So we're continuing to invest in and work with stakeholders, you know, to prevent incidents before they happen, and by trying to strengthen our kind of mental health systems. I would also say that we are, you know, continuing to focus, you know, on we had a couple of cases yesterday. We're announced in the kind of public integrity space, so we're going to continue to do that work, you know, holding people accountable for that.
Good, good, good. Well, mental health is it's a very important part of our society, and it has to be addressed, because it was in the Bronx, not in Manhattan, that the last week we had a stabbing, had a couple of stabbings and one death. And I believe the one who committed the stabbing was eventually killed by the police officers. So it's a very serious problem we have in our society, and going unaddressed, it could lead to many, many deaths.
Yeah, no, look, and we see it in our docket with some of the assaults we see, and, you know, we you know, obviously bring the cases when there's harm, but we also really want to be thinking about ways to intervene before there's harm. We're doing that, working with a couple of organizations that are trying to disrupt and intervene before something happens. We fund a couple of groups that do that kind of work, engage with people who are in distress to try to stabilize them before an event occurs.
Very good, very good. So we have about a minute and a half. And for our listeners, just in case they missed the information on tenant protection, I would say, and also if you feel that you've been cheated out of wages, once again, how would they contact you? Also, you have the website. The information is on the website. Can you give us the website? That's probably the easiest way for everybody to remember.
Great, great. So for the housing, you can go on our email, our website, manhattanda.org. For housing in particular, you can email Danny Housing, D-A-N-Y Housing, at D-A-N-Y. .nyc.gov. Okay. That's the easiest way. You can reach out to us, and someone in the unit will get back to you and try to provide some resources.
Thank you. Thank you. And in our closing, I could say, if you don't know, that Jalen Brunson will be hosting Saturday Night Live's first show.
Okay. I did not know that. You're breaking news for me right now.
Okay. Very good. For you and also our listeners, you get a chance, Saturday Night Live, the first show, Jalen Brunson will be hosting it. So I'm looking forward to him hosting it. I'm looking forward to seeing something that I usually don't see from him. Matter of fact, I don't see from him. He's going to have to smile. So
we saw him smile a fair amount, in late June, you know?
Yeah, he still had that serious face. And I understand he's a serious guy. And
so we're gonna run it back? We're gonna repeat?
We're gonna run it back.
That's how I feel.
I don't care how much Philadelphia loaded up.
I'm not worried about them.
What Miami did, bringing in everybody, we're gonna run it back.
Like you said, it's chemistry, it's teamwork.
And I heard Josh Hart doing the broadcast yesterday for the U.S. Open.
I saw him on TV.
He said, "We are the underdogs, even though we won, and nobody's
that's right. Disrespectful.
So
I get disrespected in the Knicks.
That's when we're at our best, when people are doubting us. So I said,
that's right.
Run it back. So
just like New York, when people sleep on us. That's right."
That's all the time we have for this edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237, and a very special guest was District Attorney Manhattan Alvin Bragg. Thank you very much for coming back on Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.